Good morning. If you were here last week, then you noticed something. Since I learned a lot about you last week, that you don't have my back all the time. And so some of you are looking right now saying, it looks a little shorter than last week. And so we had someone who stepped up and who was thinking about me and helping me out because you guys were going to let me, you know, fail and fall and all that. And so nice try. This one will work. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you'll have to watch the podcast. anyways, we're real glad you're here, and I remind you what we're doing, what we did last week, and what we're doing this week is I've just kind of invited you into my gigantic living room, so to speak. We're in the final part of this two-part discussion in what I'm calling kind of an informal small group setting. And so rather than me preaching, it's just me kind of talking to you, like if we could, I'd put us in a giant circle, and this would be more of a small group discussion. That's what we're doing. That's what we're talking about. I'm saying items and thoughts and whatnot that I might say more in a small group context. And if it was a normal small group, I'd put this out there. I'd put some of these thoughts out there, and you'd feed back, and we'd ask questions and talk to each other. But we don't have that complete luxury because we only have a few minutes to do this. If you're visiting with us, you're just kind of like a fly on the wall in a big, giant small group that you just kind of get a listen in on. And so you can kind of glean from this some of our principles that we're talking about, but just know that you're kind of this week, you're part of a small group discussion. We've been in this series that we've called The Giving Experience, and we're actually wrapping it up today, and it's kind of based on this idea that Jesus mentioned in Acts 20:35, where Jesus said it's more blessed to give than receive, or another translation says you're just going to be far happier when your focus is on being a giver rather than being a receiver. And to help us maximize that experience, kind of like Mark just mentioned, we've been thinking through the lenses of a very simple principle. And the principle is this, that God owns everything. And that you and I have been entrusted with what he owns, or we've been entrusted to manage what he owns. And managers, that their goal, a manager has a goal. And the manager's goal is to make decisions and choices that accomplish not their own desires or will, but the desires and choices that the owner would have. And so that's what they try to do. They try to just figure out, what does the owner want? And I want to try to fulfill that and to make that happen. And the Word of God describes that responsibility to us. It's a big deal, being a manager. And the Bible tells us, 1 Corinthians 4:12, that it's required that those who have been given this trust, or another translation says who've been put in charge as a manager, that we have to actually prove faithful. We have to demonstrate and show that we're faithful with whatever God has entrusted to our care. And you know the challenge, right? We've talked about it, and you've hopefully thought about it. You know the challenge is that you and I, we tend to want to try to live like owners, don't we? We make choices and decisions that look like we are owners rather than managers. And we do that because Proverbs chapter 3 tells us why. It says that we too often lean on our own understanding rather than trusting in God and trusting and putting all our decisions into his hands. And while we love the giving experience, a lot of you've shared, you've had cool stories, you've went about trying to give and be givers of your time and talents. We love that when we talk about managing time and talents. Love it. But when we talk about the idea of being managers of our finances or our money, then we're kind of like, I don't really want to talk about this. I'd rather you just kind of leave me alone. I would assume that no one would bother me on that. But what I wanted to do last week and this week is I want to help you on that portion of being a good manager. It's easy to say, because of all the great stories, it's easy to say, yeah, I'll be a good manager of my time and talent, but not so much with our finances. And I want to help you with that. And I want you to be able to, going back to that idea of proving that you're a good manager, I want you to be able to prove that you're a faithful manager of the money that God has entrusted to your care. And I want to help you do that for a couple reasons, and one of them is this, is that I know, and you know, that the pleasures of life and the pressures of life, they can really wreck a faith. And the pleasures of life and the pressures of life, which we talked about in previous weeks, we also know that they can wreck our faith, and they can wreck our life in the arena of our finances. And so what we started to look at last week is this verse or this passage in Matthew that we're going to re-pick up on. So I asked you to turn to Matthew chapter 6, and I want to look at what Jesus says and the promises that he makes to us in this passage. So turn to Matthew 6 again. And I mentioned this to second service last week. I don't think I mentioned it in first service, but to give you some perspective, especially maybe if you're visiting today, you're checking out LifePoint, or you're still investigating faith, there's a financial expert. His name's Dave Ramsey, and he has a radio show, and he does this incredible program we'll talk about later. And he's constantly talking about, you know, getting out of debt. And he actually says one of the keys to getting out of debt is that you give some of your money away. Which is interesting that this guy on a nationally syndicated radio show, which is now in the Sacramento region, that you can watch on a talk six, listen to that on Talk 650. He talks about it's not, and he's talking, and it's not a Christian radio station. It's just everybody listens to. He tells everybody, whether you're a believer or not, he says one of the keys to being a good financial manager is you must be a giver. So even if you're not a Christ follower yet and you're checking this out, you can still glean from the principles that we're looking at and talking about today as we kind of discuss this in our small group. All right, so in a normal small group, I'd have someone else read the passage, but I won't have you do that. I'll go ahead and read it. Matthew 6, verse 19, let's pick it up. It says this. Jesus says, "So don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But instead of storing them up on earth," he says, "but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Jumping down to verse 24, he says, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Isn't that interesting? That for you and I, there is this battle that's raging inside of us for our affection and our devotion and our faith, for, you know, who we trust in and what we trust in. And on one side stands the Lord. And on the other side stands money, not the devil. On the other side, Jesus said, stands money and everything that money represents to us and stands for. And in this battle, you and I, we have a choice. And we have that choice every single day. Focus on our kingdom or focus on God's kingdom. When you wake up every single day, the thought is, where are you going to direct your energies? Our bias is towards ourselves, right? Our bias is towards our own deal. But God says a faithful manager, one who is convinced that God is who he says he is and that he'll do what he promised to do, he will be convinced, or she will be convinced enough, that storing up treasures in heaven, verse 20, is worth making what we might call a sacrifice. And it's worth it right now. Because a faithful manager uses some of the money God entrusted to them, and they use that in such a way that it ends up, this passage says, giving us rewards in heaven. Now I know. If you say, okay, I'll take this seriously, and if you take these verses seriously by choosing to exercise your faith in this way, almost guaranteed, you're going to start to worry. You're going to start to worry and wonder, will I have enough? If I choose to give some of what I have away in some capacity, will I have enough? You worry if God will actually take care of all your needs. And one of the reasons we worry is because we perceive that we can manage 100% of our income better than trusting in God, that if we trust in his way, that we can manage with a little less. And worry is what's been preventing you from taking the giving experience plunge. There's lots of other factors, but worry is one of the big ones. And I think that's why Jesus goes on in this passage in verse 25. The New Living says it this way. He says, "So that's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you'll have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear." So Jesus is saying, I get it. That's why I'm telling you, don't worry about whether or not you're going to have enough. If you do it my way, don't worry. And Jesus says that when you worry about whether you'll have enough, by choosing to store up treasures in heaven, look at the verse, verse 30. He says, when you do that, he says, you actually have a little bit of faith. You only have little faith. Not great faith. You only have a little faith. And so he went on. He said, so don't worry about these things. Don't worry about them saying, what am I going to eat and what am I going to drink and what am I going to wear? Because he says, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. And then he says, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. And look at the key verse. Here's the promise. Look at verse 33. It's a verse you might even have memorized. But this has been the context. The context has been, you're going to serve God or money and store up treasures in heaven or store up treasures for yourself here. And if you choose to go my way, don't worry. I'm going to give you. I'm going to provide. Don't worry about having enough. And here's the context of the verse we've said in the past. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things, what's all the things? It's the food and the clothing, the shelter, and all the stuff we need for life. He says, all these things will be given to you as well. Our worry prevents us from seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness first. And yet, what does the passage say? God says, I'm going to provide everything for you. I'm going to give you everything you need if, and here's the if you do it my way. If you do it my way, and my way, God says, is to seek my kingdom first. My way is to store up treasures in heaven first. My way is for you to maximize your giving experience by giving away a portion of your income to God first, above all else. Jesus saying, come on, guys, don't be like the unbelievers. Look at verse 32 again. They're allowing all the worries to dominate their thoughts, and Jesus says, don't go down that road. So I want to encourage you to maximize your giving experience, and here's the key word, intentionally choose. Intentionally choose to store up treasures in heaven. And that will require a commitment, and that will require a sacrifice to give. And it's not just giving our time and talent, which of course we're all on board for that, but it's also giving away the what we mentioned last week and alluded to last week, which we're going to talk about more in a minute. It's also about giving away the first fruits of our income. The first fruits of our income. See, if you trust God is who he says he is, if you're absolutely confident that he will do what he has promised to do, take us back to that five-week series on faith, then guess what happens? God's going to get his share first. God will get his portion first. There's a saying that we use here, I've used for years, other preachers have used, Dave Ramsey uses, lots of people out there use. And it's a simple phrase, and it goes like this to help us with this. If you don't know it, I would encourage you to write it down. Here's one of the best financial money management principles that you can put in place. And it's three things. Let's see if you've heard it before. Give, save, and what? Live on the rest. And that's the order, by the way. Give first. Save a little for yourself, for your future, and then live on the rest. But guess what we do? Statistics actually prove it. We live, and if there's a little bit more, then we'll save a little. And then if there happens to be any left over, then we'll give some away. The challenge with that is, I don't remember, I didn't look it up for this series, but I've seen in the past that it's something like a huge percent of Americans live on like 103% of their income. And so the problem is most Americans are living on more than they even have. So they're so far from the principles that God sets out in our lives that he says, these are the best way to have an incredible giving experience and experience life to the fullest the way I intended. So give first. Now, what we want to do the rest of the morning is talk about that and talk about what does that look like practically? How does that play out? If you're going to experience the giving experience as it pertains to your finances, what does that look like? How does that play out in your life? So, first is to give first. Now, does anybody know what first means? I looked it up, by the way. It was very interesting. Here's the definition in the dictionary of what first means. It says that first means this. You ready for this? This was the first definition. After I buy that new TV. Second definition was after I get the new house and the new car. The next definition was first means after I go on vacation. And after I put the kids through sports and dance and ballet and piano lessons. First means after everything else. So should we pray and we're good? Are we good? We can leave right now? You're like, yes, I knew it. Come on now. What does first mean? Was it before everything else? First means first. Before anything and everything else, it means up front. All those items I just mentioned, guess what? They are vying for your attention and your affection. They're the pleasures of life that we've talked about. Matthew 6:22 says, "My eye's a lamp that provides light to my whole body." So you and I, we see stuff all the time. And if those things, those treasures of earth, are our focus of our eyes, it will be the focus of our heart, which means that we are going to be missing out on giving towards kingdom riches. So here's the practical tip. Before I give my money to anything else, pick a portion of your income, pick a percentage, and say, "I'm going to give it away." Pick a portion, pick a percentage, and give it away. And if you say, "I'm going to do it," guess what? Here's where the worry steps in. But I have to pay my mortgage first. I have to pay my SMUD bill first. I have to set aside money for my 401k first. See, isn't that actually what we typically say? We may not say it, but it's what we do. That's what we do. Give to God first means just that. Give to God before any of those other items. Practical tip. First means first before anything else. Second practical tip to help give to God first. Before I tell you the tip, what I want to do actually is kind of set it up for you. We actually talked about this a great deal in our small group this week. We had a fun discussion. And as we were just talking about last week's message and kind of laying out some ideas for this week, we discovered a whole lot of practical ideas and issues. Here's what we discovered. Giving to God first is extremely challenging. And there's a lot of reasons it's challenging for us. See if this makes sense to any of you. One of the things we realized as we were talking is this, is when it's hard to give to God first, for example, when you miss church for any reason, for any period of time, God will not tend to get your first fruits. It's just kind of normal and easy when we miss to let him still get our first fruits. That's kind of normal. And we found out this also. Even if our first fruits issue has been resolved and has been settled in our lives, and we've faithfully been given to God first and foremost, here's where the other thing we realized. If you aren't spiritually right with the Lord, between your relationship with the Lord, maybe with your family, with your relationships in general, here's what we realized. You are susceptible to changing your giving practices. If you're not right with God and right with others, you're susceptible to changing your giving practices. In fact, I threw out this question as we got into it. I asked everybody, I said, agree or disagree on this statement. If your giving habits, like as you look back at your life, if your giving habits change for the worse, it's a clear sign that your faith isn't right or where it needs to be. Agree or disagree? Everybody around the circle said they agreed. In fact, some of them gave examples. They said, that's interesting because in looking back, they didn't realize it at the time. Because again, it's hard to do the first is first. It's hard practically. And their lives, some people were sharing, hey, our lives weren't right spiritually. And we had dealt with this years ago. We've stood on stages at church giving testimonies. We've never thought this would be an issue again. But because their lives weren't right spiritually and relationally, that slipped. And that changed. And as we started talking, that spiral was affecting their whole life. Their money management wasn't as good as it used to be, even though they had more in their possession. And they realized, oh my goodness, I wasn't right with the Lord. I wasn't right relationally. And so my giving habits changed. Which we kind of threw the next statement out and said, what about this one? If you've never truly developed faithful giving habits, it's a clear sign that your faith isn't where it needs to be. Do you agree? And everybody went around and said, yeah, based on everything we just said, yeah. If you've never developed those habits, you're not where your faith could be. It might be right here today, but God has so much more in store for you. But back to our original point. The idea was when you miss church for any period of time, God will tend not to get our first fruits. It's just kind of normal and easy to forget unless, and this is kind of that second practical tip, unless we choose to practice predetermined generosity through online giving as an example. Now, this is the tip. I want to encourage you, how do you deal with first? How do you make sure it's up front? Biggest tip I can give you, it's the single best practice you can put your minds to, and that's to practice predetermined generosity through online giving. Now, what we're going to try to do here in a second is we're going to try to show you what this looks like, and hopefully this will work out. So, let me get us connected. I'm going to show you what that looks like. Now, if you're not a believer and you're still checking Jesus out and trying to figure that all out, remember the principles we're talking about still apply to you. And so I would encourage you, we're going to talk about giving to a local church for a moment. I would encourage you, if you're not a believer, definitely don't give to a church. Okay, now I'm serious about this. And here's why. Dennis just realized where that picture was taken, didn't you? I saw you pointing right there. He knows exactly where the shot is. But anyways, if you're not a Christian, yeah, you're still figuring Jesus out, don't give to church because that's going to play into all your stereotypes about churches just want your money, okay? You can practice this principle of predetermined generosity through online giving with a lot of organizations out there. There's so many incredible organizations that you can give. There's organizations that bring children, you know, out of poverty, and there's organizations that help people get drinking water across. There's lots of places. So even though I'm going to use a church illustration for the rest of us, for some of you, this still applies to you. You can do it just, you know, with that organization. So here's how it goes. This was at Cali, actually, during December or January. We were down at the beach, went in the water. This is where I grew up, and she had a blast going in the water there. She wasn't smiling, by the way, after she got out of the water, but she was originally. So let's find this. So here's how you do it. You ready? Taking notes right here. Very simple. You jump online. You go to, and in fact, I'll even make it real easy. You go to LifePoint's website. If you go to LifePoint's website, and there's a lot of different places on there that say give. So I'll go to the one up top, it says give. Now, when you get to this screen, there's two ways to give. You can continue, if you don't use the city, which is the smartest way, I would encourage all of you to use the church's city thing. It's the best way to do it because you get your records of your giving, you communicate with people in the church, you can see, you look up people's phone numbers, all that kind of stuff. But so you can go either route on doing this. I'm just going to go through the city right now. It's going to end up basically at the same place. So I click on to the next page. And this is, by the way, if you've never been on the city, here's one of the pages. It'll be the same looking page. Let me scroll in. Let me show you how easy it is to do predetermined generosity. You go right here and you select a fund. We're going to pick the general fund. And since I got one of your account numbers, we're going to put in 50 grand. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, why not? What the heck? No. Okay, $5 here, which for some of you, that's, you know, I'll let you and God deal with that. Notice you can choose the frequency. You pop the pop-up menu. I'm going to choose twice a month. I get paid twice a month, so it's very easy. I get paid on the first. I don't want to take a chance, so I'm going to do the second just because I'm kind of weird that way. I'll do the 16th just in case something cleared. I don't want something weird to happen, but you can choose your days. Starting on this day, and I'm going to do it till I cancel. I don't have any memo. And then I go here, I click next. Now I'm going to select a payment method. We'll do a new payment. I don't need a nickname. I'm going to do, now notice you have credit card, checking, or debit. I would encourage you to do checking only because if you do debit or credit, it does take 2.75%. If you need that to get your 1% on your points, go ahead. But if you realize, hey, you know what, it's good to use your checking account. So you type in your account number. Don't write that account number down. Don't write that down. Type in your ABA routing number. Don't type that number in. I'm trusting you. If I all of a sudden have something, 358. Oh, wrong routing number. Go down, pick my address. See how easy this is? What is going on there? Okay, Oak Grove. I'm telling you, this is the easiest thing on planet Earth. You set it up. Okay, go to next. Some of you are just going to trust that I click next. Oh, man. 3, 5, 8. There we go. I just can't type. I can't type. All right. So now we get to the next page. It tells you, are you ready? Here's your amount you're going to give. It's going to happen on the 2nd and the 16th of every month. Click make this donation. When I hit click make this donation, boom, it's done. It's taken care of twice a month. It's going out. I'm golden. Finished. If I want to change it, if I want to increase it, decrease it, whatever the case may be. It is super, super easy to do that. You can do it one time. You can do it. You can set it up regularly. The point is predetermined generosity. Predetermined. Set it up in advance. All right. I think that's it. We're gonna leave it right there. So you're done with that screen. We're good. All right. That actually worked out for me, kind of, sort of. Now, in our group, oh, wait, small group. In our group, we have business owners, and we have people who are business owners, or they're in construction, and they it's feast or famine, you know. They don't get anything for, 3, 4, 5 months, and then all of a sudden they get a $20,000 check or a $30,000 check. So what do you guys do? How do you guys handle that? Well, it's the same kind of, maybe you're a 1099 employee. It's the same kind of thing. You can do, one person said, when you get paid, you just write the huge check. I can tell you, sometimes it's harder if you get paid one time, you all of a sudden get a $30,000 check to live on for the next 6 months. Some people struggle writing a $3,000 check. One person suggested this. They said, you know what? I know I'm kind of a business owner, all that kind of stuff. I know roughly every year I'm for sure going to get about $40,000 or $50,000, and then all my bonuses and everything else are on top of that. They said it may shift around, but I know I'm going to have that for sure. So you know what they said? They can do everything I just did, set it up a couple times a month or once a month or whatever, give based on that amount. And in fact, I'm looking around. One of you actually started doing this. You told me about it. You started saying, hey, my business, things have been changing lately. So I just went on and said, all right, I'm going to give this amount no matter what. And then when I get my bonuses and my checks and I get paid and all that, then I can go do one-time payments and add those in. Now, why is all of this so important? It's important because we all readily acknowledged. It's so easy to forget. It's so easy to kind of lose sight of this, and there's a lot of reasons. But our lack of attendance at church shouldn't result in us withholding from the Lord. Just because you went on a vacation for 2 or 3 or 4 weeks, that didn't mean you didn't have to pay your mortgage, did it? Right? I mean, take the principle, the idea. Again, I wouldn't say that if I was preaching, but we're in a small group, so I'd say that. Because we'd be talking about that. We'd say, hey, right? We'd joke around like that. And one of the people texted me this morning. They couldn't come, in our small group, they couldn't come today. Their daughter just had a huge fever, had to go to ER. And they were like, hey, you know what? Since today was my giving day, I don't have to give the $500 because I'm not there. Sweet, it'll help pay for my ER bill. And they were joking around because they know what we're talking about today. But don't we do that? Isn't that a reality? Hey, I wasn't there, out of sight, out of mind. Set it up in advance. Make it automatic, because that's what predetermined generosity looks like. And a lot of times people say, well, I'll start with the next one. I'll get around to it. I'll get around to it later. And you know what? We don't tend to do that. That doesn't tend to happen. In fact, it's very interesting. In Malachi chapter 10, 3 verse 10, God actually said, hey guys, bring in the whole offering. Because God was just getting part of it when they remembered or when they happened to go to temple. And God said, no, bring in the whole offering. So I want to encourage you, first is first, and the best way to help you with that, start using online giving. It's easy. It's simple. You set it up. It's done. You can go check your records. If you're one of our city users, which you should be, you can check your records at any time, and they're always 100% accurate. 100% if you do online giving. So I'd encourage you, join me. I don't know how many we're up to. I'd have to ask one of our finance people, but I think we're up to around 20 or 30 families or so that have started practicing doing that. So I would encourage you to join the rest of us. Final tip on this, practical tip. on how to get in this giving experience and give first and to do that. And that's Take Financial Peace University. If you've never heard of Financial Peace University, it's by Dave Ramsey, 9-week series, incredible. Churches and non-church people across the country have been using it. It's been changing their life. Now, don't tune out if you've taken it. Raise your hand if you've taken Financial Peace University. Okay, a bunch of you. Praise God. If you've taken it, I would even encourage you to consider retaking it. Because chances are you fixed a whole lot of things, but you don't remember everything because you were focused on this at the time. And it'd be good to take a refresher course. He went from his 10 or 12-week series down to 9 weeks, so he's consolidated. If you've taken it, I'd encourage you to consider it taking it again. If you've never taken it, everybody raise your hand who's taken it before. You look around, and I'm not looking closely, but I'll bet if I went, okay, you can put your hands down. There's a lot of people. I would bet if I went around, a lot of those people's finances are in a better place, maybe most, maybe all of them. So if you haven't taken it before, in the words of somebody on a mortgage ad on the radio, it's the biggest no-brainer in the history of mankind, okay? It just is. And we encourage you, do what it takes, what you have to do to get involved with this. Listen to this. The average family who takes it pays off $5,300 in debt and saves $2,700 in the first 90 days for those who take this class. That's the average. It means there's some higher, some lower. I was on his website recently. I love this one. Some of you say, well, I can't do it. I don't have enough income and all that. Listen to this testimony. My husband and I have a household income of $30,000 a year. We were at rock bottom when we found Dave Ramsey in January of 2012. All of our credit cards were maxed out. We had only a few dollars to our name. Then we found out we were expecting our first baby. 7 months later, we have paid off over $13,000 in debt and have $1,400 in the bank and couldn't be more ready for our little girl. See, I know some of you say you don't make enough. Hogwash. You take that. It is such a good tool for every single person here. And what he will help you to get to the place where you can get out of debt and where you could get to do what you know God wants you to do, which is give away a portion of your income. It's thrilling. It's exhilarating. It's incredible. So we're offering the class. Look in your bulletins. We're offering the class starting next Sunday from 3 to 5 every Sunday for 9 weeks. If you haven't considered it before, today's the day I'm hoping you'll sign up. You'll take a step. Call Summer Hoyle, email Summer Hoyle, go to the Connection Hub, say, yeah, I want to get in that class. I need to. I know it's going to help me. By giving our first fruits to God as an act of faith, we show who we really trust in. Do we trust in God or we trust in our money? And when we give to God first, we are proving, or if you're not a believer, you give your money away first, you're proving that your trust is in something that's not yourselves. And when you give to yourselves first and foremost and you're not willing to go down this path or I'm not willing to go down this path, that's saying, taking back to our other series, man, we're leaning hard on circumstantial faith. We have circumstantial faith. You say, no, I don't have circumstantial faith, really? Zach said it brilliantly a month ago when he stood up here and gave a devotion. He said, I just love the statement. Circumstantial faith, he said, will result in circumstantial giving. So just look at your giving habits. Are they predetermined? Are they first fruits? Are they right up front? Or are they random? Are they all over the place? This amount, depending on how you feel or what's left over. Zach said, man, that's circumstantial faith. And you could see it in circumstantial giving. And here's the deal for me as your pastor, if I can slip out of small group mode for a minute. I worry for you if that's where you're at. And I really do worry for you because I know without a doubt the pleasures of life and the pressures of life that are vying for your attention. They will win out if you don't take this path. And they'll hurt your faith. They'll hurt your giving experiences. They'll hurt your financial experiences. And speaking of which, when you struggle with this, you're going to find that it's hard to get ahead financially. You're going to find when you don't deal with this issue, you're going to have money management issues the rest of your life. Dave Ramsey said it this way. He said, many people have observed that after they stop tithing, their finances seem to get worse. He said this, if you cannot live off of 90% of your income, then you cannot live off of 100%. Pretty interesting quote. And he says, so why does God ask us to give 10% to him first? Tithing was created for our benefit. It's easier. It is to teach us how to keep God first in our lives and how to be unselfish people, because unselfish people are better husbands, wives, friends, relatives, employees, and employers. Also, God's trying to teach us how to prosper over time. Anne Frank said this. She said, no one has ever become poor by giving. So, can I encourage you? Take this important step of giving a portion of your income away every time when you get paid before anything else. And for most of us who are believers in God, you give that to God, your first fruits up front. Pick an amount, pick a percentage, wherever your faith's at. A lot of you know that 10% thing's kind of out there and you kind of understand that. Some of you pick, maybe you're at 2 and you give 4. Maybe you're at 4 and you give 6. Maybe you're at 6, you give 8. Maybe you're at 10, you say, you know what, God's dealt with this. I want to be an extravagant, generous giver beyond that. I'll give 12, 13, 15, 18, 20% or whatever it may be. Pick a percentage and give it to God. Just give it away. Because when you do that, Matthew 6:33 says, when you seek God's kingdom first, he'll take care of all your needs. Some of you say, well, Chris, technically Matthew 6:33 doesn't talk about money technically in the verse. I can give my time. I can give my talents. And I've heard people say that before. And let me just ask you this. Really? Really? Come on. Be honest with yourself. Do you actually believe that? Or are you kind of saying that because it helps you feel a little better? Do you have enough faith to believe that God will do what he promised to do? In Luke 6:38, he said, he promised that when you give, you'll receive back in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, whatever that means. But you know what it means. It means God's going to work, look out for you. He's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of you. He's going to bless you in powerful ways. God uses the giving experience of our money as a way to help us prove that we're faithful managers of what he's entrusted to our care. So here's what I'm asking you. I'm going to ask you to have an honest conversation right now between you and God. Okay? And I want you to have this, and I want you to get real with God for a minute. And if you haven't gotten to the place where you give him your first fruits, where you get paid and you give to God first a percentage of your income before you do anything else, if you got to that place, here's what I want you to do. Will you just come to grips with the reality of what Jesus said? If that's where you're at, he says, you only got a little faith. Just accept that and say, that's where I'm at. Because you and God can work on that. But then secondly, will you get honest with God? And will you say something like this to God? And I would encourage you to do this out loud, you and God. Not right now, but out loud. Do this with God. And here's what I wrote down. Here's kind of a prayer that I would encourage you to pray. Get real with God and say this. God, I love you, but I don't trust you enough to believe you will provide for me if I give my first fruits. So I will not be mad at the church. I won't try and justify my rationale for why I'm not giving back to you what's yours in the first place. And when I go on this vacation or buy these items instead of giving to you first, it's because I believe these temporary things will make me more blessed than giving to you first. So I love you, God, but I won't be a consistent percentage giver. I encourage you to do that if that's where you're at. No, really. Just be honest. Because guess what? God can deal with your honesty. He can deal with a heart that's not pretending. You come to him with sincerity and lay that out with him. And I suspect if you're willing to do that, that will be the first steps to helping you. Because so often, what's one of our biggest issues is denial. We're not willing to admit it. So would you be willing to be honest and be real? And if that's where you're at, can I encourage you? Take a step. Take a step and go for it. Don't have circumstantial faith. Give to God first before anything else so that you'll prove that you're a trustworthy manager of what he's entrusted to your care. Let's bow our heads. If you're willing to say, I know that would be my prayer, but I'm going to trust God with my first fruits, would you just tell him right now in your own words, God, I'm going to take this giving plunge as it pertains to my finances. I'm going to go home. I'm going to go online. I'm going to pick a percentage of my income, and I'm going to give it to you, God, and I'm going to set it up. It's going to be predetermined. Father, for those who are willing to do that, I know you're going to show yourself faithful and you're going to do incredible things in their lives. God, for those who just, they've been a part of this small group today and they're not there yet, Lord, just keep working on their hearts. Keep helping them. God, I know you don't try to beat any of us up. You just try to put some ideas out there. And I pray, God, that more and more of those people who aren't there yet, that they would really examine their faith. And God, you would help them and help them grow their faith. God, we love you. We love the opportunity that we can be managers of what you've given to us. And I pray, God, that each of the people here, God, would desire to faithfully prove that they're managers of all that you've entrusted to them, their time, their talent, and yes, Lord, even their treasures. So God, we want to store up treasures in heaven, not just here on earth. Help us to do that. We need your strength and your power. And we take up these offerings, Lord, knowing that you're going to use it to grow your kingdom. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.